Lord Jesus, please, we will need your grace to navigate the programming of the past and receive what you will be disclosing to us. Please, Lord, let your mind be in our minds. Let us be focused only on you, with the discernment to tell truth from error. Amen. Well, guys, boy, did I get an interesting piece of information. And it's very rare for me to ever click on the side and watch someone's video, but Mark Taylor just happened to have a headline that caught me there, and I felt like I needed to click on it, kind of feeling, I should. No, I shouldn't. Should I? No, I shouldn't. But I did. And it turned out to be the Holy Spirit. It was his choice for me. And this is the most exciting news I've heard in a long, long time. And the Lord has confirmed that what Mark said is absolutely true. So here it is. The video is When Big Name People Will Go Down. That's on January 25th, 2018. All roads lead to Rome. And Mark begins here. The Spirit of God says the Pope and the Vatican, that's right, the Pope and the Vatican are not furthering my kingdom, but are aiding the kingdom of darkness. No surprise there, huh? Many are saying that this is the last Pope, but it's not for the reasons they think. This will be the last Pope for what I, the Lord God, am about to do. I will expose this Pope and all those under his command for all the corruption he and the Vatican have been involved in for centuries. The Spirit of God says there is a shaking and a quaking coming to this Pope and the Vatican, for I will split the Vatican and its leadership wide open for the entire world to see the inner working of this ancient beast. This Pope, the Vatican, and all its leadership will come crumbling down. I will pull back the veil to show how deep and dark the deception has been. You whisper in your inner chambers, we answer to no one. No one is above us. No one can hold us accountable. I, the Lord God, see it all, and the time has come when I will hold you accountable for your darkness. This exposure will be of such magnitude that the people will say, what do we do now? Where do we go now? We want nothing to do with this. We have no religion now. Millions will walk away from their religion, and this will affect other religions as well. Interesting. I don't know if you can hear the bells chiming in the background, but that was the church bells just going off. The Spirit of God says, is my army ready? Are you ready to receive these people? Are you ready to receive my harvest that is going to take place from this exposure? Prepare yourself for the tsunami of people that will be starving for me and have no place to turn. Prepare now. All roads lead to Rome. Well, this is definitely an interesting prophecy that he's been handed. And the reason I'm sharing it with you is because are we prepared to handle these people? They're going to be coming from a tradition and be very, very lost, knowing that there was so much corruption from the beginning of this tradition. Actually, not from the beginning, from 300 years on from this tradition, because in the beginning with the apostles, it was not corrupt. That's why people were being martyred. When it became corrupt was when it became a state religion in Rome. He also goes on in this particular thing to mention some archaeological discoveries that are going to be made. And some people speculate it's the Ark of the Covenant. It is not the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant has already been found, and it's, I believe, in the hands of the Jewish people. And I think that they have tried to get the blood off of the mercy seat and have not been able to, that it keeps coming back. This is just what I saw in meditation and prayer. I'm not going to elaborate on that any further, but it's not the Ark of the Covenant. could have something to do with the alien thing being exposed. I don't know. That could have to do with doctrines that were held back from us. Who knows? But I do know from experience, having been in the Catholic Church for many, many years, that there's good and there's bad there. And the bad is about to get purged. But let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Let's take a look at this, because every single religion and religious group on this earth has corruption and error, both. So we're no one to walk and strut and say that we have the whole truth and nothing but the truth, because we are all fallible. But I do believe the Lord wants to address this event and prepare us to be able to receive these people with a good spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and camaraderie, but also to be able to address anything false that comes up. So I asked the Lord, what is this all about? And he said, you wanted to know, not that you haven't always known in your heart, yet the particulars do remain a mystery. This must happen. The institution must be stripped of its powers of old. The ancient serpent has indeed gained control and began manifesting more openly in recent years. Although from the beginning, Claire, starting with Judas, I had traitors in my midst. She is my church, and the gates of hell have tried, but she has not succumbed. Rather, she is only overwhelmed for a time and a season in this darkness. Never did I choose to have one ruler lording it over my church, as the Roman aristocracy did. All these forms and customs served their purpose for a short time, but quickly gave way to the private interests of the wealthy and influential. He's talking here about Rome. When Rome entered into the church, that was the beginning of the mess. This is not the proper order for my church. He's referring to the hierarchy. What is the proper order is the way it began, meeting together in the home, in poverty and simplicity. Cathedrals were not my idea. They are an abomination to me. They are a place where the caste system is enforced and every level of moral corruption is used to gain influence. This was not my idea. I cannot state this emphatically enough. Make mausoleums and museums ornate if you wish, but not my church. She is to resemble the ancient synagogues where anyone, but especially the common man, can feel at home. But Lord, what about those who said that you told them to build something in honor of you? Did I? Where people of influence and culture, people of notoriety, can gather to worship? Did I mean for this to happen? No. No, and emphatically no. I want the church modeled on ancient Jerusalem and the early synagogues, where wealth enters in, so does status and influence. My temple in Jerusalem is yet another story, because those that serve there will be beyond reproach and chosen by the Spirit, not flesh and blood. But what about relics, Lord, and art? Let them be stored in a museum, and let those of wealth and influence take the money from that endeavor and feed the poor, buy medicines, provide for missions. I want wealth and its influence to have nothing to do with my church, except in the instance of my temple in Jerusalem. Wow, how is all of this going to unfold? In shockwaves, Jesus replied. Yet I have fully prepared the safety net for the transition. I want you to use your gift for bringing souls into the understanding of my ways. Though you are censored and excluded by certain influential Christian groups, I have not censored you. In fact, I have made you to be ever so slightly, well, what should I say, different? A misfit. Yes, that states it perfectly. You are my little misfit. Thanks, Lord. My love, he continued, be faithful with what is before you. Diligent. Music is always to be a part of your life, but so too is administration. Both you and Ezekiel together, for he will be watchful over your ways, and you will be balances for one another. Always be true to the sanctity of that relationship, and allow no selfish ambition to infiltrate, because it would be your undoing. And don't think the enemy won't try to bring you down. He certainly will. I want you to start teaching on what my church was like in the beginning, pre-Rome. So many lies abound on both sides, Protestant and Catholic and Orthodox. You are to reveal these as I reveal them to you, for they are a plague. Money, influence, and power will always be behind the doors of a corrupted faith. Remember what I told my people concerning the Pharisees? The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so practice and observe everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. That's Matthew 23. Lord, rather than do research, because I started thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? I'm going to go back and read his Josephus and the different historians. How am I going to do this? That's just not my style. But I'm willing to do it if the Lord wants me to. Surely I'll be reading the scriptures and examining them very carefully. But I said, Lord, rather than to research what men have written, please, can you be the source? And if there's something I should read, would you please tell me? Jesus continued, first and foremost, my people, I want your eyes on me and me alone. There will be designated teachers, and it will all be very familial. Yet even as Moses had 70 men responsible for imparting the law and seeing to it that justice was done, there will be a hierarchy. This will be most evident when I come to rule. But even before that time, I want all of my true heart dwellers to seek my heart and my confirmation on what I am giving declared to be taught. I don't want a speck of bigotry or judgment in your ranks, heart dwellers. Please do not denigrate what is holy, and do not accept your traditions and teachings from various teachers as absolute. Only my word is absolute, and from it shall come the complete truth. Yes, power, influence, wealth, and control have distorted much of what I have taught and what Holy Spirit has taught down through the ages. My church is a maturing and growing body, and you will have to learn how to discern truth from error, because there will be many things that do not seem right to you based on your past learning experiences. But I am warning you ahead of time. If you hold on to your past teachings from various people, even though I prove them contrary to Scripture, you will go astray. I have focused on discernment on this channel many times. The reason is simple enough. I knew this was coming. I knew you would be scandalized and confused, and I knew that you've already fallen into error through the teachings of many famous ministers who are passing on the errors of their teachers to you. Presumptions without evidence and not taking the time to do serious comparison with the scriptures will be your point of departure from the truth. I am begging you to lay down your knee-jerk reactions and go deeper. I have had to do this with Claire. She had many presumptions and attitudes that were not pleasing to me, and in fact were hurtful, damaging, and outright lies. She's been swept clean of these attitudes, and that is why I am using her on this channel to expose what I always intended for you to know and use as helps in your journey towards heaven on this earth. My church was the olive groves, the beaches of the Sea of Galilee. My lessons were punctuated by lost coins, candles, sheep, and vine dressers. If you observe me carefully in how I taught, it was always with simplicity and clarity that reached the lowest common denominator of men, women, and children. I did not teach with long treatises, 10-letter words, and the accent of the wealthy. I taught in total simplicity the most profound truths that anyone in an agrarian society would instantly grasp. I am not condemning scholarly works. I am merely pointing you in the direction of my style of preaching. Today you might use smartphones to illustrate a point, where back in the day I used the leaven of the Pharisees, or an old wineskin with new wine. I am not saying you must be archaic. That means using obsolete examples from my days on earth. But I am saying that your teachings must illustrate truth and at the same time appeal and be understood by the common man. There is no room for aristocracy in my church. We are a family, and as a family we care for one another and respect our fathers and mothers. Modern churches have turned the faith into a money-making industry. This is abhorrent to me. I repeat, this is abhorrent, detestable, and nauseating to me. How many people go into ministry to make money? More than you would care to know. How many sift the church for different programs to build up a prosperous company, not a holy place to dwell? I know well the nature of man, and that is why my church must be made up of cells that function together well within the body, being a support to one another, not competitive TV ministries, big names, and big business organizations. I have nothing against getting the word or illustrations of the word out to the people, and for this many are forced to use advertising. What I do object to is the high-dollar monetization of these resources and the cults worshiping different teachers and the arguing and infighting that goes on between teachings. You have so much to learn to understand what is pleasing to me, my dear, dear body. For what among men is highly thought of is an abomination before God. Luke 16:15 from the Darby translation. If you, my people, could accompany me into heaven, you would see the highly exalted ones, our housewives, street preachers, living a simple life, missionaries, all who live for me and take no thought for the values of this world. These are souls consumed with love of me, not love of money. Many who live privileged lives on earth are now living in small and lowly houses in heaven. They are not known in heaven as successful. Rather, they go about in humility, disclosing the error of their ways on earth and why their reward is so lowly compared to the way they lived on earth. And yet in certain districts you can see the mansions of those who lived in utter poverty on earth while they gave all their attentions to their ministries, keeping nothing for themselves. Do you see? It is no wonder then that the institutions have glorified themselves, deprived the needy, and exploited the helpless. It's no wonder that they are about to be fully exposed as institutions dedicated to Satan. And yet you cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. Cast away the filthy water, but cherish the child. This is no easy task for a people caught up in the world, a people who do not investigate the allegations of their teachers. A people who are more taken up with belonging to a group than belonging to the truth. What I am going to disclose to you is about the simplicity and the purity of the faith that I handed on to the apostles, and somewhere along the line was denigrated by man's opinion and political ambitions. There is no one church without error or corruption. No, not one. So do not be quick to find fault with anyone in particular. Be quick to seek me and investigate what the scriptures are saying in their proper context. Be quick to be proven wrong in your assumptions of the past, because you most surely will discover errors in your thinking. There are few, if even any, that have not found fault or accused any church. And these souls are the ones that are close to sainthood. So my first installment on these teachings is simply that I picked 11 poor, simple, working-class men as my apostles and one scholar. And the scholar, Judas, was the one who hanged himself after betraying me. That's a warning to all to walk in humility, treasure simplicity, abhor pretense and position. Do not seek these things, lest Satan make sport of you. Rather, seek to embrace the lowliness of a fisherman, and I will make you fishers of men.